Around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. I had a few adventures out there this weekend, but we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Currently right now, it is 65 degrees. The winds are out of the northeast at 21, gusting up to 27 miles an hour. Humidity's 23, dew point's 27. We are in a high wind watch until 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Fire weather warning until 10 o'clock tomorrow evening. And if you think it's windy today, wait till tomorrow. And bad thing about it is the wind is going to switch and be coming out of the south tomorrow. And it's going to calm down tomorrow evening a little bit, not much, and then switch right back out in the next. It's just going to be come out of the north. This is going to be totally a windy week. But according to the Mezzanet on Facebook, he said this is the peak of our windy season. So we still have a ways to go. And well, let's check out some grain markets and some livestock markets. Right now, oil is down. It keeps creeping down. It's down 4.17 for the day. It's at 94.09. It needs to get back down to around 65, and I'll be happy. But live cattle, feeder cattle, lean hogs are down or just steady. Basically, most part, they're down. April live cattle, 137.95. June live cattle, 134.30. August live cattle, 135.97. And October live cattle, 143.25. Feeder cattle, April 155.70, down 0.85. May is 158.72. Lean hogs are down to steady. Down a little bit, but kind of steady. How's that? April 98.55. May 108.87. And June is 114.77. Let's go and see what cash grain prices in Oklahoma look like as of 11 o'clock. I know wheat's up. Here we go. Wheat's up quite a bit. It's at 10.70 a bushel. Corn is at 7.77. It's down three to six. It was right at 7.84 there a little bit ago. I feel like it's going to get to $8 before all this nonsense is over that's going all over the world. Milo's at 7.45, and soybeans are down quite a bit at 15.68. Well, wheat futures jumped in overnight trading after the USDA's agriculture cut its forecast for grain shipments from Ukraine amid ongoing attacks by Russian forces. Ukraine is expected to export 19 million metric tons of wheat in the 21-22 marketing year, according to the USDA. That's down from the March outlook of 20 million metric tons. Corn exports for Ukraine are now pegged at 23 million metric tons, well above the previous outlook from 27.5 million tons. Russia's recent military action in Ukraine significantly increased the uncertainty of the agriculture supply and demand conditions in the region and globally. The report represents an ongoing assessment of the short-term impact as a result of this action. In Ukraine, the death toll from a Russian attack on a train station has climbed to 57, according to media reports. German leaders are claiming indications of war crimes have been found, and Austria Chancellor will meet with the Russian President Putin this week. Russian troops are reportedly readying themselves for an offensive in southern Ukraine. Soybeans, meanwhile, were lower in overnight trading after the WASDE report. Brazil's soybean output is now seen at 125 million metric tons, and that's down from the previous month's projection of 127 million tons and on par with analyst expectations in a poll from Rutgers. Production in Argentina was forecast at 43.5 million metric tons, unchanged from the previous month's outlook, but ahead of the trade outlook for 42.8 million tons. Wheat for May delivery jumped 16 and three quarter cents to $10.68 and a quarter cents a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures added 17 and a quarter to $11.24 a bushel. Soybean futures for May delivery dropped 3¾ cents to $16.85 and a quarter cent a bushel. Soy meal rose $1 to $4.69.20 in a short ton, while soybean oil futures lost 0.51 cents to 74.61 cents a pound. That's a little over 74 cents a pound. Corn futures gained 5½ cents to $7.74.5 a bushel. Well, money managers raised their net long positions or bet on higher prices, as we call it, in corn and soybeans in the 7 days that ended on April 5th, according to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Investors held a net 349,104 corn future contracts last week, and that's up from 341,639 a week earlier. Speculators also increased their net long in soybeans, holding 156,811 future contracts. That's up from 151,000 future contracts the week prior. Hedge funds and other large investors were mixed on wheat. They held a net 45,193 hard red winter wheat future contracts last week, up from 44,963 contracts the week before. Soft red winter wheat bucked the trend as speculators held a net 13,953 futures last week, and that's down from 19,000 the week prior to that, and it's the smallest such position since March the 1st, according to its report. Then, guess what? Extremely dry weather headed for most of the central USA and the southern plains. It's very dry in much of the central and western USA, as the red flag warnings have been issued from southwestern Texas into South Dakota, according to the National Weather Service. In southwestern Kansas, winds will be sustained from 20 to 25 miles an hour with gusts up to 35 miles an hour this afternoon. Humidity is projected to be as low as 10%. The warning in the area is in effect till 1 o'clock through 8 o'clock today and from noon to 9 p.m. tomorrow. But I read what we're doing in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle a while ago. We're just under high wind warning and fire warning until tomorrow evening. So just there's not going to be a break. In the Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, winds will gust up to 65 miles an hour, and humidity will drop as low as 9%. A combination of strong winds, low humidity, and warm temperatures will create favorable weather for rapid fire growth and spread. And Lord knows we don't need any, but something can happen. But anyway, in western North Dakota, meanwhile, a blizzard warning has been issued for Tuesday through Thursday with up to 20 inches of snow. I'm not sure which one I'd rather be in. Probably take a blizzard right now because we need the moisture. So travel will be very difficult, if not impossible, in North Dakota. Bad deal. Well, let's just go back to the mesonet here and go to the wind monitor and see what we got happening in the state of Oklahoma. Basically, what's going on now in Oklahoma and the Texas and Panhandles, both Panhandles and right out here in western Oklahoma where we all live, it's just 28 miles an hour with gusts up to 30, 35 right now. But this afternoon, it's supposed to increase a little bit, but tomorrow, it's not good. So let's talk about today and tomorrow. Everybody just needs to be careful what you're doing out there on the farm and ranch right now. Let's not fix those gates. That one fire at Shattuck the other day, somebody was out there welding on a gate in that high wind. There's no sense in it, guys. let's just not do it. Just hang off. No matter. Wire it up. I know you guys got baling wire out there. So anyway, wire it up. Just hang tight till the wind's not down, because it's just a tough time with no moisture and high drought. The drought condition is terrible. We don't need any more of these fires. I guess that fire out west of Sweetwater got a lot of the Brett Ranch and those ranches right in there, so it hurts. And then the Durham fire, the Beaver WMA fire up there got outside the WMA, and then the Highway 23 fire that was up by Fort Supply. While we're talking about it, let's just check and see what the Oklahoma Forestry Department's doing before we go to a break. Right now, according to the report I got, this is the fire situation report. There's been some small fires all over Oklahoma throughout the night and yesterday. There was one at Berlin yesterday, but they got that one under control pretty quick. Looked like it started on the highway. I don't have a confirmation on that, but some people said they drove by there and that's where it looked like it was going. The 23 fire, which was in Beaver County, ended up being 15,040 acres, and it's showing 80% contained right now. The North Canadian fire, which was in Harper County, was 1,364 acres. It's 95% contained. The Beaver River fire, which we were just talking about here, was 24,537 acres, and it is now 100% contained. So, anyway, be careful out there. If you guys see somebody going down the interstate or the highway and they're dragging a chain, please try your best to stop them or warn them somehow or another without wrecking. Don't do anything crazy. Don't run them off the road or nothing. But anyway, just be careful out there and stop them and tell them to hook those chains up or tie them up or do something, because it's not hard. If you drive from Sayre, Oklahoma, all the way over to Weatherford on I-40 going east, you can see where fires were started with something was dragging, whether it's a chain or bad bearing or whatever it is. Just be careful out there. Well, when I come back after this break, I'll tell you about some of my adventures this weekend, and I want to talk about some of the kids from our local schools that's got a big shoot coming up. State shoot is happening Wednesday at El Reno. I think it's El Reno, but anyway, I want to talk about some of our local kids from Altus to Eric to Merritt to Sayre to Canute. A lot of our kids are doing really well in this skeet shoot, trapping skeet shoot. So anyway, be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com. Or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Is being an agent for Farm Bureau Insurance similar to farming in a sense?
Oh, very much so. You know, I think you've heard me say all the time, I'm available anytime. And I think in the farming world, you're available anytime. You know, you work long hours. You don't ever know what you're going to be doing the next day. You may wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go plow, and someone calls and says, hey, your cows are out. And insurance is that way a lot. You know, I may come to the office and think, well, today I've got to get this done, and a storm hits the night before and your gears change and you're taking care of your customers. Farm work is hard. You know, people talk about, you know, farming and crops and things like that. That's a gamble. You know, we do crop insurance here, and I try to help secure their assets on that part of it. So that's just another phase of what we do to try to help our farming community. I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes. Good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Oh, my wife would be so proud of me, but I'm starting to suffer on the allergy deal. Allergies are kicking my tail, and it's she sent me a deal yesterday where the allergy medicine that I've been taking has been known to cause dementia. So I thought I wouldn't take one for 2 days and see if I remembered if she actually sent me that article or if I was just dreaming it. So anyway, it's 66 degrees, northeast winds at 19 miles an hour, humidity's at 23, and we have gusts up to 25 miles an hour. And again, I'm just going to remind you, high wind watch until 7 p.m. tomorrow evening, fire weather warning until 10 p.m. tomorrow night. And expect a high today of 75, and currently we are at 66. All right, let's see if I can get all this down. I got to brag on these kids. They're doing good. The Oklahoma Trap Mesquite Association had a deal going on this weekend, and some local kids that I found on Facebook, I just want to brag on them. One of them is Addison Darling. She got her 50th straight patch there this weekend. And this is all on Red Dirt Shooting Club's Facebook page if you want to check it out. I know I'm going to mess this up. I'm going to miss somebody, but promise you. And if I do, the KECO Ag text line is wide open at 580-225-9697. And if I miss your kid that I didn't find in all this paperwork, I'm sorry. If you'll correct me, I'll fix it on the radio. Also, big congratulations to Mason Tucker. He was the overall handicap champion at the Oklahoma Trap and Skeet Association registered ATA. He earned his first half-yard punch. And for you guys, what's that? That means they're they got to back up a half yard for their shooting. Also, let's see here. Big congratulations goes out to Nate Bryant of Merritt and Brody Pryor, who was from Alaska, for their first 25 straight in a registered ATA event. Congratulations. And I got one more, one of my favorite kids in this whole neighborhood of our listening area of Western Oklahoma. Moving on back, it says, to Reese Hightower. He was also the handicap champion today at the OTSA and earning another punch on that scorecard, and he's also moving a half yard back. Well, this Wednesday is the OKSSSP State Shoot. It's the big championship. It's like state championship for basketball. It'll be, like I said, Wednesday, coming up here. The Sayre schools qualified, the team qualified in the junior division. And in the senior division, the Merritt shooting team, Alta shooting team, the Navajo shooting team, and the Canute shooting team all qualified. They'll be competing this Wednesday. On the individuals, we got some people in there. John Harrell of Altus. And we got one other, Carson Miller of Altus. They qualified in the individual deal. And one of my favorite ladies, she's helped us out at Quail Banquets, and she's quite the shooter too. Bregan Barnett from Merritt, and Kaya Funkhauser from Navajo, and out right over there at Eric, Brenton Stafford. He qualified on the individual part. And then I got some individuals here. Let me get to it. On the junior division, I had a I had to make a copy of this list because there was so many of them. Let's go down through here and let me pick one. Addison Darling, Emerit, she qualified. Emily Kane and Jolie Harrell of Navajo, both of those qualified. And Woodward, Madison Harmon from Woodward. Arapaho Butler, Zane Sawaski, qualified. And this is all on the junior side. And then Canute, Noah Jarnikin. Hey, that's my cousin. He qualified. And then, let me see here. Keep on going down here. Blaine Pierce from Elk City. Dason Harmon from Merritt. Jaden Akina from Sayre. I hope I said that last name right. Probably didn't. But anyway, you know who I'm talking about. And then Bailey Pence from Out to Schools. That's Jeremy Pence's daughter. He's I think he's an instructor for the Western Oklahoma State College down there, for where some of our kids from our local area are going down there on a scholarship. So anyway, congratulations to all you kids, and we wish you the best, because most of those kids are farm kids. So anyway, pretty much I know at least 75% of those I just rattled off is all farm kids. So anyway, they're in the agriculture world. So anyway, I don't know if you guys pay any attention to the Go West magazine that you see free at some of the stores and stuff, but this one is a special edition as far as I'm concerned. There's lots going on in our listening area, from Weatherford to Sayre to everywhere. But if you guys will pick that edition up, there's a big write-up in there of one of the most famous people that comes from our area when it comes to horses, and that's Joe Merritt. And his home was on the 14th Ranch, and there's a great article wrote up about him because he was, man, he knew his horses, quarter horses. And then you keep on going through there, and they got some stuff on from a lady from Clinton writing in there, Jessica Skinner, got a deal going on her. And then they got some haircut stuff going on in there, and some artwork, and this some awesome artwork. And then get here to Elk Creek Strutters. I seen another picture of somebody I knew in there. Elk Creek Strutters will be holding their annual National Wild Turkey Federation fundraiser in May. And I probably, and this is the Beckham County's local president, he received some awards at the NWTEF National Convention. Bobby Armstrong. I don't know how he finds time to do everything he's doing, but he's going to be going on, and that's going to be going on at their fundraiser will be going on at Canyon Oilfield Services in Elk City at 6 p.m. on May 14th. And hopefully I can just get Bobby in here and talk about what's they got going on, because, you know, youth turkey season started last weekend, because I seen game wardens everywhere. And regular season will be opening up here pretty quick. Matter of fact, I got a couple people being here Thursday from the Oklahoma Wildlife Department to talk about what's happening in the wildlife and in our wildlife in Oklahoma. And we'll be talking about mainly turkeys, so don't want to miss that. That's coming up this Thursday. And then April 18th and 23rd through the 23rd, the Old Settlers Reunion is scheduled for April 18th through 23rd in Cheyenne, Oklahoma. And it's just, it's a great time. It's a cool thing. They got a ride up in there to learn more about it. The only thing I know is I got a couple of friends that try to win the mustached award there every year. And one of them, he looks okay with that big curled up mustache like he's off Gunsmoke. But that other guy from Grimes over there, he's too old to be playing in contests like that. So he doesn't need to be doing that, but he probably will be. And then you just keep on going through here, and then we get to, guess who? Caitlin Smith. She's from Merritt, and she rides Bullet Spirit for the OS State University mascot. There's a big article in there about it, so you get a chance, go by. I'm not pushing nothing. I just thought it was interesting when I picked that up this morning. There's so much news. And then one of our local guys, oh, Corey Speaker, Bob McMillan, David Bell, Dusty Davis, and Brian Taylor. They're all in here too on their pigeon racing. I might have to get Corey in here one day to talk about his pigeon racing. It's pretty interesting. And then they got a deal in there about the Heartland Museum in Weatherford. Anyway, pick up this deal. It's Go West. I'll show it right here on Facebook because we are streaming live on Facebook and on our website, KECOFM.com. Get a chance. Check that magazine out. It's pretty cool. The deal with Walter Merritt, you know, that guy's a legend around here. You need to read that article. It's a great article. Well, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, April 1st. 1,138 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 355, brought 221. 9 at 441, brought 206. 5 at 595, brought 174. 7 at 666, brought 157. 5 at 680, brought 151.50. 3 head of heifers at 287, brought 203. 10 at 494, brought 174. 15 at 549, brought 168. 25, 5 at 702, brought 141. 3 at 928, brought 126. Butcher cows were 30 to 103. Butcher bulls brought 76 to 125. Bred cows were 785 to 15. 50 pairs brought 825 to 1875. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Just popped up. 67 degrees. Winds are still out of the northeast at 19 miles an hour, gusting up to 27. Humidity is 23, and like I said, I'm going to say it a couple more times before the show's over. We are under a high wind watch until 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Fire weather warning until 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Anyway, so Saturday was my first live remote, and I did it at Doug Gray Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram out here, and it was his 30th year of being in business in the Elk City community. So I got to go out there and do that, and I didn't get yelled at by anybody here in the studio. Drew, I was on it. Drew helped me out a lot, got her done. Mr. Cobb got me fixed. He did yell at me in a text, and he didn't know he did that, in a text message. So I texted him back and told him to quit yelling at me. This is my first time doing a live remote. Had Jared Athan out there with me, and Casey, our intern, come out there later on. The deal had a good time. Them Brown's burgers, man, I don't know. I can't say enough about them. They're excellent. If you ever get a chance to eat their burgers, that one with the bacon wrapped around or curled around the top of that hamburger patty, that hamburger just melts in your mouth. And those French fries had some right amount of salt on them. Everything was good. It was a good time out there. And congratulations, Doug Gray, on your 30th anniversary, and they're keeping it in the family. Joby was out there with me, and we did some deals, and Roberta showed up out there, and I gave her a big hug, but I couldn't twist her arm hard enough to get her to come on the radio with me. Her and my wife, and they've got, I don't know how many stories a day they talk, but anyway, they're really good people. Again, congratulations to Doug Gray, and I didn't get fired from doing the remote, so anyway, everything's good. Well, I was over there moving my side row. Wheat, as everybody knows, wheat and rye, all the grain are suffering right now. And I was trying to get the irrigation going, and I had it going. Side row was priming up. The water just started, and the air just started coming out of all the sprinklers. And all of a sudden, it just quit. I thought, well, heck, the water line separated or something. I couldn't see, and I'm pumping about 350 gallons a minute, so I know the water would have been spraying in the air. Well, the electricity had went off, and for some reason, I don't know what happened. But anyway, North Fork got it back on quickly, you know, within an hour. But there's something in that one well of mine. I don't know what's going on there. But anyway, it's not working. So the big well's the only one going, but I got it nozzled for both wells. So I have to go over there this afternoon after the show and re-nozzle all 33 to 36 sprinklers, whatever I got, so I can just use the big well, because this wheat needs some water on it quickly. And I'm lucky to have irrigation, but everything's got to be working just right. And it does take a little bit of time to get across it with the side rows, but hey, it's better than nothing. I'm trying to make some hay. I need some hay. Well, this weekend or last night, I seen, you know, there's a lot of fundraisers going on with fire departments, the rural fire departments right now. Canute, Radon, Cheyenne, all of them, Crawford, all of them are raising money, because we've had the rural fire departments have had a long season this year, all the way from Snyder and Lawton, all the way up to Beaver, Texas. Everybody's been helping out each other. I know Kansas, Texas, and Oklahoma was on the Beaver Fire Department. And I know you guys have been hearing me talk about the fire departments. Well, guess what? The fire departments are just as important part of ag as anybody right now, with the drought conditions we going on, the high wind, the whole nine yards. So I'm going to talk about them. And, well, Radon, one of the hunting lodges over there at Radon, raised $10,000 for the Radon Fire Department over there. They auctioned off a hunt and 4 nights, 5 days. Awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. Well, as some of you guys that know me know that I am one of the administrators on the Oklahoma Bigfoot hunting page. Well, when I see Bigfoot come up in any of the social media stuff, I stop, I read. This is the best one, and I've shared it on our page on Oklahoma Bigfoot Hunting. Check it out. But Canadian River Hilton Hunting Lodge did a wonderful thing, and I'm just going to read what they come up with last night so you understand what it is. Well, you know what Brett Frankard is spiling about here on their page, Facebook page? He just bought a Bigfoot hunt for $10,000 to help our wonderful community after a wildfire. I'm sure many didn't believe me when I said, truly, I have the best friends and clients of anyone. Brett wasn't the only one involved in making this happen. And I was watching this when he posted this last week, and they had bids of $1,500, $2,500, and it just went on. $10,000 for this Bigfoot hunt. And I'm going to see if I can work it out with them to go up there and maybe do a live broadcast during the Bigfoot hunt, because I myself have never been on an actual true Bigfoot hunt. But I'm going to get there, but I want to go film this deal and talk to them and learn some of the tricks to hunting Bigfoot. But anyway, they had guides bidding, clients bidding, friends bidding. Every one of you are world champs in his books. We had 114 people share this post to get the word out to assist. And thank you, everyone. He says, oh, wait, that's not all. We have just been messaged from 3-time defending Canadian River Hilton Benefit Auction champion Russell Maoli that he is donating another $2,000 to be added to the $10,000 that won the Bigfoot hunt. I have a feeling it's not over yet, but either way, the friends and clients of the Canadian River Hilton Hunting Lodge has raised $12,000 to help our neighbors and community out. Next time you think negative about the people from outside our community wanting to come here, it's not happening. It's just, come here and hunt. Please read again and go back and look at our original post of all those that bid and was willing to write a check. And I'm taking from what his statement is. I didn't know most of those guys that were bidding. A lot of non-residents or out-of-town people were bidding on this. And this so-called Bigfoot hunt to help people they mostly like, because part of the Hilton hunting area got burned up during the Durham fire, or the Washita River Complex fire, if you want to call it. Anyway, so, man, that just it warms my heart to know that there's people out there that's willing to help, and they're not even from this community. And just big amen to you guys out there. You guys get the chance. I don't care if it's a dollar or $100 or $1,000. If you get a chance, please help your local volunteer fire department out. It's all a tax write-off. They need the help. One of the tires on one of those trucks is probably anywhere from $600 to $1,000. And I know they blew some and messed up some, but hey, when you're in the heat of the battle, it's great. Well, Friday, before I go to the last break, Friday after I left the station, I took off. And if you guys didn't see it, you need to see it. It actually turned out pretty funny. But this goes out to all my friends in the Durham area, up there around Pack Saddle, Durham, Crawford, Cheyenne, Raiden, Roll. This goes out to you. Well, Val Castor and Amy were in Elk City at the Walmart, and I had already made it. I was already almost to Sayre after work, and they wanted to, because I told Val I had a present for him that one of the ranchers up there at Durham gave me when we did the convoy up there with the hay and cake. And he wanted me to present this to Val Castor. And I was actually going to mail it to Lacey and have her do it on TV. But she's kind of cranky right now, being in the family way and stuff. And she's got a lot going on, so I didn't want to bother her. I don't want to take advantage of my friendship with her. So Val said, "Hey, I'm in Elk City." I said, "Well, I'm in Sayre." So we met at Carter at the Volunteer Fire Department down there. Brandon Williamson and Chad and a few other people were down there. Working on a truck, they had a valve break off or a nipple break off one of their big tankers, and they were working on it. So Val and Amy came down there. Well, Val decided to, I had the present with me. He didn't know what it was, so we got on there, and he did a big deal with Chad Ripitoe talking about Volunteer Fire Department. There was handshakes and all this going on. It was pretty cool. Chad's a pretty good dude, no matter what some of you say. I actually like him sometimes, but anyway, he come to help me yesterday on my well, so I can't say nothing bad about him. But anyway, then he introduced me and talked about the radio show we got going on here and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, Chad said, "Hey, Val, I think Jimmy's got something he wants to present to you." I don't know what Val was expecting present-wise, but I thought it was pretty funny. I told him, I said, "This gentleman handed me this present, and he wanted me to shake your hand and thank you, and blah, blah, blah." And so I whooped out a pair of brand new Irwin fencing pliers out of my back pocket. I mean, still had the package on it and everything, rubber handles. And I handed them to him, and I said, "I got a little speech to do for you." I said, "This guy told me to tell you when you're in Durham and there's a fire, you cut his fence anytime." So anyway, it was pretty good. And Val and Amy, I didn't know Amy was originally from Mangum. I didn't know that. It's awesome. She said she met Val at OSU when she went to college up there at Stillwater, and they have 6 kids. I think the youngest one is 10. The oldest one is 21. I got to quizzing her about how they can go out and chase storms and fires and do all this stuff with kids. And she said, "Well, I got babysitters," because obviously they got 6 kids between the age of 10 and 21, but she said the 10-year-old is getting to where he can take care of himself now. So, anyway, them are wonderful people if you ever get to meet them in person. Val's really hyper, and Amy's really cautious. I could tell you that much so far. If you ever watch them live when they're doing the deal, Amy's always yelling at him to back up and hurry up and stuff like that. He's got some wonderful people in Oklahoma and Texas. So, anyway, be right back. I'll give you the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up and give you the Texas and Oklahoma stockyard sales receipts from stockyards last week and the Western Oklahoma livestock auctions going on right now. Woodward's weekly cow and bull sale be tomorrow, Wednesday, Hobart Stockyards. Thursday, Woodward weekly feeder calf sale. And Friday, Elk City Livestock Auction. And then we got Hollis Saturday. So, anyway, there's no excuse for you. If you got any calves or cows you need to get rid of, there's no excuse. There's one every day. So, go get her done if that's what you needed to get done. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor. Located on South Randall in Elk City.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, April the 5th, we sold 600 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, April the 7th, we sold 3,661 calves and feeders for a total of 4,261 cows for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 82.5 to 92.50. 10 cows bring 48 to 82.5. Bulls bring 84.50 to 116. 2-day-year-old bred cows, 1050 to 1125, with their 2-day-year-old pairs, 1285 to 1600. Hunter steer cattle, 350 to 4-weight steers, $2 to 227, 4 to 450, 205 to 219, 5 to 550, 190 to 207, 6 to 650, 169 to 191, 7 to 750, 154.5 to 169.50, 8 to 850, 147.50 to 157, 9 to 950, 147.5 to 149.60, 1,050 pound steers, 135 to 136, and 20 steers weighing 1224 bring 124. Hunter heifers, 350 weight heifers, 185 to 206, 4 to 450, 191 to 213, 5 to 550, 161 to 180.50, 6 to 650, 142 to 159, 7 to 750, 140 to 147, 8 to 850, 135 to 138.5, and our 9 to 950 heifers, 131 to 131.50. Very good market, selling 500-pound heifers up to 180.50, selling 4 to 450 steers up to 219, selling some 900-pound steers up to 149.60, and we sell two loads of black steers weighing 886, bring 148.50. This Tuesday, April the 12th at 1 p.m., we will have a special cow and bull sale. Got a free lunch. We have 40 nice black pairs, 2 years old. Also have some 5- and 6-year-old pairs. Also two Charlotte Red Angus cross bulls, plus some other breeding bulls and other bred cows. Give us a call. Be sure and stop by our vet store. And also had lots of compliments on the Rockin' Nine restaurant there at Sale Barn. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
68 degrees, humidity's 23, winds are out of the east, northeast, 18 miles an hour, wind gust up to 24. We are under a high wind watch till 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, and a fire weather warning until 10 o'clock tomorrow evening. It don't look good tomorrow, but anyway, right now, it's going to be mostly sunny today, high around 75 miles an hour, with east winds 10 to 15 miles an hour, gusting up to 25. Looks like we're holding steady in the 20s and gusting up to almost 30. But anyway, tonight 55, tomorrow it's going to be windy. Tomorrow's not a dress day. Tomorrow's a cap day. If you got hair on your head, just wear a cap. It's just going to be crazy. 92 degrees, south wind, 17 to 31 miles an hour, gusting up to 45, maybe 50 miles an hour tomorrow. Tomorrow night, same thing, breezy, low around 49, south wind, 17 to 26, gusting up to 40. That's tomorrow night. Wednesday, the wind switch, 69 for a high. Northwest winds to west winds, 20 to 24 miles an hour, gusting up to 35 to 40 miles an hour. Same thing Wednesday night, but a low around 35. Remember that 35, because as soon as I finish with the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, I'm going to come back to Wednesday night. Thursday, mostly sunny, high around 71 degrees, winds north to southeast, switching to southeast, 9 to 13. Thursday don't look too bad. Thursday night, 45. Friday, back up to 82 degrees with south to southwest winds, 16 miles an hour, gusting up to 20. Well, let's go back to Wednesday night. Big 3-5, and that's in just your normal area. That does, if you live on a creek or the river, it could get a freeze or frost, either one. Anyway, I seen on the Oklahoma Mesnick on Facebook, Gary, state climatologist Gary McManus, he is saying that there's no freeze in the forecast this week. He's giving the okay to go ahead and plant tomatoes. So if you're thinking about planting tomatoes and you want to gamble, get after it. If you gamble, I would have, depending on how many tomato plants you got, be prepared to put a bucket over them or something, especially this coming Wednesday night, or just wait till Easter to plant them. That'd be the easiest thing to do. I know everybody's antsy. I'm antsy. I got them in my shop. I'm ready to get them out of there, and I'm toughing them up, though. They were bent over pretty good the other day when I put them out there to that southwest wind blowing about 30 miles an hour, man. It just bent them right over. But I'm trying to get them tough before I put them out on a real hill. Anyway, wait till Easter if you do plant this week any of your tomatoes, because I bet tomato plants are going to start being hard to get by if you ain't already bought them. But you need to go Janie's Nursery down here behind Midwest Tractor Supply in Elk City. Atwoods has got them. I'm sure Ace has got them. Wherever you buy your regular tomato plants at, better get them, because this is the year of the gardens. You thought last year was the year of the garden. Wait till this year. Too much doubt going on. Anyway, you've got that going on. Get some tomatoes planted. Get you some Epsom salt. Get you some plant food. Prepare for the summer, because it is up on us. And I'm ready. I'm ready. Anyway, this morning, one of my travels, I got over here to the Price Farms and picked up a beef that we bought from them for the butcher shop to get butchered, and took it over to Route 66 Processing. The Sarah middle school track team is selling chances for a half a beef, quarter beef, and a quarter beef. Three chances. Got three chances to win some beef. Anyway, they're raising money to support the track team with clothing, warm-up suits, stuff like that. $10, you got a chance to win a half a beef, or either two chances to win a quarter beef. So anyway, if you get a chance, check it out on Facebook. I posted it on our KECO Facebook page this morning. Kelly Ripto, she's the backbone of that deal. Get a hold of her. Her number's on there. Or you can buy tickets at Route 66 Meat Processing right there on the south end of Sayre. good chance. If you need some meat, it's a good gamble. Anyway, help those kids out as much as you can. Texas and Oklahoma livestock summaries, weekly summaries. In Texas, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers sold steady to $4 lower. Trade activity and demand was moderate to good. Supply included 78% feeder cattle, 50% steers, and 48% heifers, 2% bulls, 16% slaughter cattle, 92% of that was cows, the other 8% was bulls, and 5% replacement cows, cattle. 33 of those were stock cows, 46% was bred cows, and 21% was cow-calf pairs. Feeder cattle supply is over 600 pounds, was 58% of the feeder cattle sold. There was a total 6,821 total receipts in Texas last week, and that's down from the 7,009 the week before. Steers, let's see what they was bringing. Here's some 326 weights, brought 250. That was a bunch of them that bought that. $2.50 a pound, or 250 per 100. 377 weights was $1.91. 412s went anywhere from 212.50 to 240.50 per 100 weight. 500 weights, 524 would bring anywhere from $1.71 to $1.96. 600 pounds steers in Texas. We're talking Texas sale barns here. 632 weights was bringing anywhere from 163 to 176. 657 weights was bringing up to 172.50. We got some 714 pounders, brought $1.65. 800 weights was bringing 152 to 154. And they had some 912 weights bringing up to 141.50. In Oklahoma, feeder steers sold $1 to $2 lower. Feeder heifers $2 to $3 lower. Stocker cattle and calves sold $3 to $6 lower. Demand moderate for all classes. Cattle futures struggled to stay out of the red most of the week, and it did, as grain futures continue to push higher. Slaughter cattle movement was good. However, prices have remained in the 137 to 138 range in Texas and Kansas for some time. Slaughter cows and bulls were steady to $1 lower. Packer demand was moderate. Supply included 92% feeder cattle, 7% slaughter cattle, and 1% replacement cattle. 26,653 head was sold in sale barns last week. That compared to 27,030 the week prior to that. Let's go over some prices here. All right. They had some 276 weights. Quite a few of them, actually. We're bringing up to 235. 340 average weights was bringing up to 240, and they were thin fleshed. They had some 305, 229 value added. 400, we had some 423s bringing 200 to 224. 474s, 185 to 205. Some 458s, 216 to 219. That was thin fleshed. 500 weights. We had some 505s bringing up to 211. Some 573s bringing up to 201. And 582 weights up to $1.84. Some 622s up to $1.91. Those 184, 582 weights were unwinged. 622, 191. 613s bringing up to $1.92, and some 606 bringing up to $1.90. It's still good. It might be a few dollars lower, but the market is still good. So, no big there. How about some bird flu? I've been talked about it a couple times last week, but for the first time this year, officials identified the highly HPAI in domestic flocks in Montana and Colorado again. With the discoveries, bird flu has been found in 25 states from Maine to North Carolina to Texas and Wyoming since February, and at 159 sites totaling 24.65 million birds, mostly chickens and turkeys, and that's according to the USDA. I reported last week that they found, or week before, they found it in a wild bird up in northern Oklahoma, so we got it here. And last week they found it in a quail farm and down in the middle of Texas. So anyway, the high path bird flu was confirmed in two backyard flocks in the Basin and Cascade counties in central Montana, and in backyard flock in Pitkin County in the mountainous western Colorado. Aspen is the largest city in that county. But I'm telling you, just because you got five chickens in your backyard, you need to kick in your biosecurity. Anyway, so be careful with your turkeys and chickens and whatever animals, bird animals you have in your backyard. It can happen to a big outfit, or it can happen to your egg layers right there in your own backyard. So check on how to do your biosecurity. And if you guys do get one, please report it to Oklahoma Agriculture Department. It's been a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow. It's your Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.
It's on.
It's on!
KECO, Elk City.
Russian convoy on the move. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. After satellite imagery that appears to show a new miles-long convoy of